That's right. Welcome in. Welcome back to a defensive question edition of the Always Irish Show. Thank you for joining me. As always, you could find the program on the popular website known as YouTube.com. Hit the subscribe button and then give it a thumbs up if you like the content and approve afterwards, okay? Twitter, type in Always Irish, you'll find me, or at JKZND4. Emails, alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Merchandise link below. More people getting the hats. I love to see it. Audio only. Find me anywhere you want to find me. Like, subscribe, share, review, write me in comments. I don't care what you do. I just like the interaction, okay? So this is the requisite follow-up to my last video addressing the offense and the five big questions I had for them as we enter a transitional year into 2021, okay? So now we're going to look at the flip side of it and some questions I have for the defense. Now, this is a very interesting dynamic here because it's in my mind, these are just, I'm approaching these totally differently. The offensive one versus the defensive one. And the reason why is the defense has carried the team since the teardown rebuild after 2016. It's been the backbone. It's been the most reliable part of the program, and it's not even close. So this is a totally different discussion than analyzing the offense. The defense has largely done good enough to compete. Elite compete. Not regular season compete. Elite compete. Now, am I happy with the numbers they gave up against Clemson and Alabama? No, I'm not. But like even against Alabama, Notre Dame gave up the least amount of points to them as anybody since 2018. The offense is the main reason we had no chance in that game. Nobody can deny that. Nobody can deny that. Okay, so this is a totally different discussion when you're talking about, and it's really exciting and it has me energetic because we're talking about taking something that was already solid and good and looking at making it even better. So that's really exciting to me. That's a different discussion than trying to get the offense to where it could compete on a big level. I have skepticism we could do that. This is exciting with the defense. How do you take what was already a strength and make it even better? And it's still amazing to me. Notre Dame lost a high-profile assistant coach, defensive coordinator, everybody loved and respected as a guy and of the results on the field. We lost that guy, and everybody's in a pretty good mood. That's astounding to me. Notre Dame did a really good job with this hire, seriously. So something that turned into a negative that we were all going to worry about and how is this going to play out? Is the defense going to drop off after Clark Lee leaves? All those concerns we had as Notre Dame people is now turned into how good could Marcus Freeman make this defense? Okay, so let's get into just a little bit of background. Now, I understand when you're looking at like Cincinnati's overall defensive statistics compared to Notre Dame, I understand it's a different competition level because of the conference that Cincinnati's in, but still the numbers are the numbers and it is what it is. Okay. So in 2020, we were 10th in the land in scoring defense, giving up 19.5. Cincinnati gave up 16.5. Okay. Points per game. Rushing defense, 16th, giving up 113 a game. Cincinnati, 13th. Here's the interesting one. So those are in the ballpark of each other. Here's what I love. Pass efficiency defense. Notre Dame was 34th. Cincinnati was 3rd. Okay? And that's an area that Notre Dame has to improve on if they have any goals of competing in the playoff. You can't just get burnt and torched in the back end and have no ability to tackle guys running by you in the back end the way it happened to us in the last two ball games. Okay, so that pass efficiency defense, third ranking for Cincinnati, that's exciting to me. So again, I know these numbers are against different levels of competition, but they're the best numbers I have to go off of. And I just feel like if you give Marcus Freeman the talent pool that Notre Dame has access to as opposed to Cincinnati, the sky is the limit of how good this defense can be. He has way more resources, way more access to better players just because it's Notre Dame and not Cincinnati competing with Ohio State for all the talent. So this is an energetic, uplifting discussion about how to get the best part of our program even better. So this is fun. Let's get into my five questions. Let's go. Okay, so number one, the main question here, how does Marcus Freeman take something really, really good or great and turn it into mega elite? That's the goal here because the defense is already in a very stable, competent place overall. Okay, here's what I love. It seems like some of Marcus Freeman's strengths seem to be areas of Notre Dame's weakness, particularly on the back end pass defense part, outside of Hamilton, obviously. And I do think Clarence Lewis, he got a lot of playing time young last year. Okay, and so that's good, but you need more back there, obviously. We were getting torched, and I don't even want to think about it the last two games. So I like the fact that Freeman's strengths seem to be something where Notre Dame needs to get better at. I want to know what will practically look different with his overall base packages, schemes, more or less blitzing than Lee, and in what situations will younger guys get to play more? Will we take more risks? Will there be a noticeable change in edge and attitude shift? Not that Clark Lee wasn't great at motivating his guys. I just happen to think Marcus Freeman is exceptional at doing that. Now, here's what I do want to say, though. I admit, with my personality, I'm drawn to a guy like Freeman who's engaged with his guys, yelling, chirping, getting hyped, and I love all that. That's right up my alley, so I love that kind of approach, and I'm excited to see it at Notre Dame. The other thing, this is interesting to me, and I've always struggled with this, always. Marcus Freeman, I believe, coaches the defense as the defensive coordinator from the sideline. Clark Lee preferred to do it up in the booth, okay, to get a better perspective, see the whole field, all that stuff. I get that. But again, to me, if I was a defensive coordinator, I would have to be on the field because I gotta just be down there in the mix, feeling that vibe, talking to people, I just like the dynamic of being down there where it's all happening so you could pull a guy over and talk to him or energize the group and be right there. To me, that's just, I like that. I just like it. I get that certain guys like the physical, tactical vantage point of being up in the booth. But in terms of interpersonally with my guys, I love a defensive coordinator down on the sideline, right there, to be able to talk to whoever he needs to, do whatever he needs to do, pump up the whole group. I love all that, okay? I really do. So, again, this is house money to a certain degree. The defense is not the main reason we are not able to compete in the playoff. Everybody knows that, okay? So, that's number one overall. What will practically look noticeably different compared to how Clark Lee set things up? Okay. So I still think it's so not Notre Dame-y to lose a coach this good and people are happy and excited about the next guy. I love it. It's a great place to be, and I wish Notre Dame was there more often with more hires. Okay. So an extension of point one is obviously what will his recruiting results look like. So far, so good. But that's the exciting part. You have to link that in. The recruiting is just linked into this part of number one. How much better can a defense that was already really solid get? So far, so good on the recruiting. Okay. Number two, who assumes the leadership role in terms of play and in the locker room, in the middle of the defense? We had Jalen, we had Coney, we had Wu. Now who are you going to get? I don't care who it is. I just need it to be somebody. And it has to be leadership in both areas to be effective. I don't need leadership from a guy who makes no plays, but is standing on a chair in the locker room chirping that we need to go out and win one for the Gipper. No, you're not in a position to do that. I need my leaders to make plays on the field and be a leader in the locker room. I need both or it's invalid to me. So who's going to be that guy in the middle of the defense that assumes that role on the field with tactical results and in the locker room with the guys? White, Simon, Bauer, I don't care. Get Collie in there, Rover, whatever. I know he's too young to probably assume that role now, but I don't care who it is, but it's very important to me. We have a guy making plays and a leader in that locker room in that middle layer of the defense. Number three, who else emerges in the secondary to help Hamilton? So Houston Griffith was in the transfer portal. He's going to come back. Looks like they talked him off leaving. So that gives you another guy with experience and some depth there that definitely helps. Clarence Lewis, very young player, got a lot of snaps last year. You would expect him to keep getting better. But I'm hoping Freeman's presence helps this area mature more quickly than the path we've been on. This area was exposed majorly in our last two games. And Cincinnati's pass defense was third in the country this last year. The secondary outside of Hamilton is a little iffy to me. I think there's some talent, but it isn't yet totally proven that I can trust. Outside of Hamilton, obviously, this whole discussion exists. I need about three Hamiltons. That's what I need in the secondary to compete in the playoff. About three Hamiltons. Okay, not one. I need three. One on the right hash, one on the left hash, one in the middle. Okay, so get Philip Riley out there early. Listen, it's a year that's a transitional year. Go ahead and play Philip Riley. Kerry G, get out there. Play him. Next year's the year. Go ahead and play him. Because that next season you start at Ohio State. So get all your feet wet and your early mistakes and young stuff. Get it out of the way now. Because I'm not going to roll into the horseshoe and lose by 40 week one. So play these kids and figure out what you have next year before you go into the horseshoe. Other names, they've been around in the secondary, but I have no idea if they're ballers or not. I know the names, but I haven't seen them practically do anything yet that I could buy into. So play the most talented young guys in a transitional, somewhat of a rebuild year. Sounds fine to me. Number four, who emerges on the defensive line into a bona fide star? Defensive line play's been very solid, pretty damn good against the run the last few years. You're losing your defensive ends. Who emerges on this defensive line? Keep the lineage of acceptable and solid D-line going. So I would love to see animals like Foskey and Botello get out there and just start cracking some skulls. Those two guys in particular have a knack of making plays. And a lot of what we've seen from them has been special teams plays so far because they're younger. Foskey blocked a couple kicks earlier. Botello's leveled some guys on some kick coverages. I love guys that have that gene and a knack that when they make a play, it's a big one. Give me those guys. Let me see some of these young guys emerge on that defensive line. Get after it. Unleash them. Just unleash them and say go. Just go. Okay. And number five. Can this defense turn from a mega bend but don't break to a bend but don't break, but also with a bunch more explosive plays? That's a big philosophical question I have that I don't have the answer to. Can you maintain that under 20-point level we've averaged the last few years, but also ramp up kind of the intensity and the risks we take to make big plays. How do you thread that needle to where Notre Dame can get more sacks, more interceptions, more turnovers, be more aggressive with their blitz packages and scheming, but also not get burnt to where if that doesn't work, you're giving up 30 points a game instead of 19 and a half or 18. So I want to know, can Notre Dame thread the needle of still being a reliable bend but don't break defense, but with more of these impact plays? Notre Dame in 2020th ranked 40th in sacks, Cincinnati 16th. Check this out. Interceptions. Notre Dame 58th in the country. Cincinnati third. So both with sacks and interceptions, those big type impact plays, change game plays, steal your possession type plays. That's my big question. Do you have to sacrifice that bend but don't break defense we're reliant on that we've seen? You might move the ball on Notre Dame and then you end up kicking a field goal or we end up stopping you. It's like a bend but don't break plus is what we've been playing. Do you have to sacrifice some of that efficiency to be more aggressive and get some of these impact turnovers, sacks, big time negative plays? So those are my main five questions for the defense. And I have to tell you, this is really, really exciting because it's different than looking at an area we're bad at and hoping the new guy could come in and make it respectable. That's not what this is. This is taking our strength and making it even stronger. And I'm here for it, and I love it 100%. You already know how bought in I am on Marcus Freeman, and I can't wait to see what he does with the defense. That's all. See you next time. Take care.